This Do Lectures episode features owners of the birthplace of Do Lectures USA, Camp Avida, Anna Buesling and Gary Breen, recorded live at the global event in California, USA in 2013.
Okay, well, as I said earlier, I'm Anna, and...
I'm Gary.
You're Gary, and we're Camp Avida, if you will. Today, we want to give you a sense of this talk, but we wanted to also be honest with the fact that we really resisted doing this talk. Gary, when Duke asked us to talk, Gary resisted. You know, he said, absolutely not, absolutely not. And so Duke just kept saying to me, absolutely yes, absolutely yes. And I was like, okay, I'm stuck in the middle here.
I saw my name on the speaker list, and I was like, I told you guys I'm not doing this.
Yeah, so he, up until this point, he has quit the talk.
She's quit.
I fired you.
I said this morning you're going to do it by yourself.
Yeah. So and then there's been a few tears, but the good news is we're here and we're happy to be here, and and that's the first thing. You just got to show up, right? So so we wanted to also reference what Duke just spoke about, which is the two films. And there's one particular line in there when we were pulling together our reflections for this talk that really stood out for us. And we're going to talk a bit about our second film, but this one line of, if only you had believed in that crazy, dumb idea enough to tell the world about it. And in a way, that's what we're doing today, is to tell you about our crazy, dumb idea. And so, to give you a little context, some of our beginnings. That's Gary on the right, if you haven't figured that one out yet, but he's the one on the right, aspiring cowboy.
And Anna's on the front. She's the leader of the lawnmower.
And I don't have my finger in my nose, by the way. I just want to point that out.
and to clarify also, she hasn't mowed many lawns here at Camp Avida.
Not yet. But but we actually both grew up and met each other later in life and have known each other for 13 years. And we are next-door neighbors in San Francisco. And I can promise you, when we met for the first time, it wasn't like, you're the person I want to go into business with. That was not the intention when we met. And yet, here we are doing this...
Business partners.
Doing this business partner thing. So Gary will tell you a little more about our background.
So we both grew up in the Bay Area. Kind of the classic suburban upbringing. This is Anna's house. I think my house probably looked exactly the same. It may be brown with a few more trees. But it was... Anybody that knows suburbia, it's this classic... I like to say comfortable upbringing. It's completely safe. You know, the police force is great. Everything is very secure. And it's a really predictable life. I mean, you kind of like, everything's perfectly set up for you. Your parents moved you to suburbia for a reason. So we, of course, went to college and both graduated from college. And we thought we were, of course, as all college students, we thought we were amazingly cool. We have to move to the urban scene. Growing up in suburbia, we're like, okay, this is where the action is. So of course, we moved to San Francisco, and we like to call it fast-paced, fast money, densely populated, lots of people, no backyards. But it was a really amazing experience going from suburbia to urban.
Yeah, it was a different experience for us, and yet we take these road trips. I call them sort of an opportunity to get under the big sky and dream a little bit bigger and get out of the cramped city. And we dreamed about different things. And at this point, we had gotten married, and we suffered some of our own losses. And the conversations went from sort of dreaming out loud to more meaningful conversations. And essentially, we kept asking, well, what kind of life do we really want to be living? And ultimately, what's the legacy we want to leave? And we had these amazing children that were in our lives, and we just... wanted to ask ourselves, well, you know, how are we going to grow old together?
But our road trips.
Oh, wait. So the answers actually just kept coming back to this rule, sort of, again, a different sort of experience than we were currently in. And the answers were always around this simple, nature-based, spacious, raw and wild, sort of authentic, small village where we thought we could actually make a difference. And so... that was sort of what we kept dreaming about.
And our road trips, first of all, were always on weekends. So, you know, Friday would come along and let's go to Paso Robles or San Luis Obispo or someplace that was clearly more rural. And we'd have these amazing weekends and we'd see all kinds of cool things. We'd think we were farmers and we're gonna be winery owners and all kinds of things. But we would always, you know, the weekend would end and we would head back to the city. And so our dreams, although a seed, we had planted seeds, we just kind of held it because we would go back to our regular life, which was in the city Monday through Friday. And
it's comfortable. And until one day you got a call.
Yeah, so I'm a real estate developer type guy. And so I do projects and I always get excuses to go any place I can. And that's the Monday through Friday. And I'd gotten a call from a broker that called me and said, we heard that you are the go-to guy for this amazing project in Ukiah, California. And I'm thinking, Ukiah? And how do I even know that I'm the go-to guy here? So, of course, any excuse to get out of the Bay Area and go to someplace rural, I checked the map out and Ukiah was north. It was perfect for me. So I went up there and parked my car. He told me to meet him in this town called Hopland. So I parked my car in Hopland. It was a deserted town at the time. And he picked me up and showed me this piece of this property. And clearly nothing I was interested in. I was kind of like bummed. And I'd just driven 2 hours north. And I think he felt sorry for me. And so he dropped me off in the car and said, I'm off to soccer practice. Sorry. But I have a property. It's for sale. It's a winery. And it's down the street. I have no time to show it. You should just drive down. So I drove down the street, down 175 to this place, and there was a lock and a chain. So I got around the lock and chain, and I drove in the driveway. And I was, I have to say, from a real estate perspective, I was amazed. Those words, I kept like, wow, this place is amazing. Gosh, who did this? And I spent about an hour there, kind of day like this, on the lawn. Nobody was here, deserted. The place had been shut down. And I think at that moment, I think it's one of those things where they say in the real estate business, never fall in love with your subjects. But I basically fell in love with this place. And so I had to go home. I was late. And I knew I was 2 hours north of home. And I called Anna. And I said, hey, I'm on my way home. And I'm north of Healdsburg. She goes, where?
Very north of Healdsburg.
And I said, Hopland, of all places. She goes,
where's Hopland? I had no idea. Here I grew up in Northern California, and I had no idea where Hopland was. And so it was out in the middle of nowhere. And for us, it was just the beginning of this idea. So and essentially what happened for us is Gary started looking at this property for a commercial idea. And so he spent the next 6 months because he had fallen in love with this property. And meanwhile, I was literally with my one small child and another one in my belly, and he would make these road trips up and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it wasn't working out. All his ideas for trying to do something on this property in a commercial way wasn't working out. But I could tell he loved it, and he would come home and tell me stories about the Valley Oaks and all these things. And one day he just said to me, let's go on a road trip to Hopland.
But it was clearly depressing because when you're trying to make something work commercially and your heart is every place where you're thinking you're going to build something, there's a tree. Or you see a bunch of animals out there, a bird in the tree, and you're thinking, gosh, I'm thinking about taking that tree down. This isn't so good. So, you know, my whole frame of mind about commercial changed really. Kept going back to this love thing. Like, you can't do anything to this place. So,
so we drove up. We had our two-week-old and almost three-year-old, and we drove up onto the property, and I was just in awe. I couldn't believe this place.
The whole drive up, I mean, imagine you're coming here for 6 months, and there's parts of my mind that say, oh my gosh, you were wasting your time, and I'm just imagining her first words are going to be, you're friggin' crazy, this place is in the middle of nowhere, what were you doing all those 6 months? You should have been working on something like normal. And so the whole drive up, she wasn't talking much. And certainly when she came in here, she was absolutely quiet. And I was just like, oh boy, this isn't good. And
what was happening was I was falling in love too. And our brain was trying to, I was trying to take it all in, if you can imagine, walking into something like this and just taking in the beauty, but also I don't know how to describe it, but like I felt the trees were whispering, you know, take care of us because we'll take care of you. and we just felt compelled to do something. And
there was a, if you have a chance to see it, there's a chalkboard in the tasting room. It's on the back. And when they were closing this place down, the people that worked here were so in love with this place too, and it's amazing, that they had wrote every owner of this place since the Indians. And there were 7 owners that were on the board since the Native California Indians. And the 8th owner was a question mark.
That's us. We're the question mark.
So if you go in there, there's a question mark, because everybody was like, who's going to buy this place? And so we saw that. It was like, wow, this has to be us. That's the question mark.
And so hence this became our crazy dumb idea. And I have to tell you, when we found it, this is not necessarily the idea of a dream that you think, oh my gosh, this is a stunning place, right? But it was so overgrown, the nature, and had just taken over. But at the same time, it really planted a seed for us, and we felt really strongly we could do something here.
But, you know, I think it's one of those things, the perspective is so interesting, because we saw beauty, we saw like reclamation, we saw like every hand that had been working on this place but had just been stopped. And you're like, oh my gosh, I feel so horrible for all those people that work so hard on this place. And you're like, we have to, you know, finish the painting, or finish the work.
Yeah, it just felt like a calling. We can't even quite put it into words, but and we went back to our first film, which for us was, again, it became comfortable, safe, and predictable. And yet in the heart, you know, we kept coming back to this conversation about this place up in Hopland.
So we would bring friends up, and this was a 6-month process. And remember, Monday through Friday, we're back to our regular jobs. This house, brokers trying to sell us another house up the hill, how cool would that be? And then we'd bring our friends up on the weekends, and we'd bring the conservative guy who said, you're crazy, this place is going to cost millions, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. You bring other people who are like, gosh, I've known you for a long time, this is going to blow your whole business career. What are you moving to Hopland for? And you're like, oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, we had more people tell us we were crazy than tell us it was a great idea. And so there was 18 months of negotiation with the corporation that owned all this property, that also had chosen to close this property. And Gary persevered through all those negotiations. And he also persevered in the negotiations at home, because there were many days where he was in and I was out, and I was in and he was out. And luckily, it never took place on the same day where we were both out. And at one point, I remember it was a really critical point for both of us. And we looked at each other and said, do you want to look back on your life and think about, remember that time we had that opportunity in Hopland and we didn't do it? And so we just made a decision at that point to jump. And we jumped. And we jumped without a net, quite frankly. We just decided we're going to do this thing. And what's the worst? And we still, there are days, I think, as David was pointing to, there are many sleepless nights for us, but there's many days where we think, oh my gosh, what's the worst thing that can happen for us? Is that we fail? Okay, but what if we don't? And what if we fail, even if we fail tomorrow, will we have regretted any step that we did in what we're doing right now? So, and the answer still for us is we would never regret anything that we've done to this point in the last 3 years we've been here. So we jumped, and a lot of that meant we didn't have necessarily any experience being in business together. In fact, this is a true story. We're driving along 18 months after we've been here, and we're driving back from doing some errands out of town. And I look at Gary, because we're having this kind of heated conversation about the business, and we're not agreeing. And I'm like, and I look at him, and I'm like, oh my God, we're in business together. Like, literally, it took 18 months for us to figure out that we were actually in a business together. And he's sort of chief executive officer, and I think I was supposed to be HR or something.
Yeah.
But anyway.
The thing was, we had absolutely no experience even thinking about this. We were absolutely never farmed a thing in our life. We drank wine, but we never had a clue about wine. Olive oil, all the things we were doing. I mean, we were like clueless and absolutely beginners. I mean, we were absolutely beginners. We're like, oh my gosh. So we didn't have a plan. People, even the financing side of it and the money side, people were like, you know, we didn't have a big bankroll. So we just kind of did it. and said, you know, we're going to figure it out later.
So, you know, what we did have was this big dream. And the big dream was really this thing called Campo Vida. And Campo, for some of you who know Spanish or Italian, Campo means field, Vida means life. And so when we got here and we kept walking the gardens or the different fields of the property, it just felt like so much life was here and there was so much to bring back.
And I have to say, I mean, Anna was very instrumental in the name. The place used to be called the Valley Oaks Ranch, and the name's owned by Jack Daniel's whiskey, and you couldn't use it. But it was so cool about this tree. I mean, these trees are like 600 years old, and you're like, no way, 600 years old. So we have to name this after a tree. And so Anna was like, I think you're really being myopic here. I think you need to think bigger. And so I totally agree with her. She's like, this place is way more than a tree. It's about life and animals and people and place. And so the name Campo Vida, although I fought her on it for a while, it became very much...
It's part of the expression of what we're up to. And I think one of the things I would hope that you would all take away while you're here is we're certainly wanting to bring back this land, which was forgotten. And more importantly, we're trying to bring back this community and a sense of community. Because even if you don't live in Hopland, there's communities that are underserved and needing attention. And when we found this place in Hopland, while we were in escrow, businesses were shutting downtown because this was the gem of Mendocino County. This particular property brought hundreds of thousands of people into this town and this region. And when they shut it down, they didn't just close and end the relationship to the employees, they really made a mark on Mendocino County. And so, in specifically this little town of Hopland. And we just felt like we could do something for the community and quite frankly, something bigger than ourselves. And that felt important. And that was something that we could do. You know, there's all sorts of amazing talks you're gonna hear this week. But that was something we felt like, okay, we got enough skills to do this. We could try this, you know. And so that's what got us started. But we felt again, as we reflected on this reality, the crazy dumb idea, it's not all easy, as David spoke about. The reality of this crazy dumb idea is Mother Nature is a big teacher and manager and sometimes the CEO of our decisions, and they're not planned. And so we've been humbled, and we've been, yeah. I would say, under-resourced at times. And
yeah, I mean, everything. I mean, it starts as, I mean, that's the problem with being an amazing optimist. And it's really kind of a great thing to have, but it's also probably the worst thing to have sometimes. Because if your optimism isn't grounded in really factual stuff, you can get yourself in big trouble. So, I mean, we had to look at this. I mean, every budget that we put together, we blew. Every building where we didn't think we needed to do something, we actually did something. Every time we turned around, we were transplanting an olive tree because we couldn't kill that tree. And so everything just expanded and expanded. And you know, we've learned, I think, through a lot of optimism, that you have to ground that optimism in really sound, factual stuff.
Well, and I think the other thing, out of all the challenges and the surprises and the hardships that come in doing something like this crazy dumb idea, but is it actually got us really clear too. And we got really clear and we started bigger questions again, like, well, how are we gonna do this and how are we gonna do this sustainably? Not just from the environment standpoint, but financially sustainable and life sustainable. Like there's only so many hours in a day that we can get stuff done. And as you've heard, we have a family and I wanna see my children and be with them. And so that was really important why we wanted to step into this. And so we got clear, and there was a few things that we got clear about that we could do. And we started becoming sort of makers, if you will. And it happened to be one of the expressions is winemaking.
Yeah, I mean, the place was built and kind of designed, has many iterations. But the last iteration was, it was a food and wine center. So we had these beautiful tasting rooms, which you'll see, and the culinary center. It was all designed around a wine program. But they never made wine here. Ever made it. They made it somewhere else, but they never, like, really, like, the wine came from here.
Yeah.
So we got really clear that we weren't going to be big. We wanted to be small and boutique, but we wanted the wine to come from here and have heart from here and people make it from here. So we built the winery, and we got really clear that we thought our success was based upon making something and making something really world class. So not knowing anything about wine, we just launched, you know, full speed into it, and we're doing remarkable with our winemaker and everything. We're so proud, but it's
yeah, it's good. And then the other thing we got really clear on is that we needed sort of gatherings to help be sustainable here. So whether it's a wedding celebration or a corporate offsite or a nonprofit fundraiser or the Dew Lectures, those are ways that we could gather people here, share the experience, but also help it be a sustainable business model for us.
But you know, I think the place is, it's not the type of place. It would have been so sad if some, you know, really rich guy would have bought it and made it his house or something, because nobody would have ever...
You're not that guy, by the way.
No. Everybody has to come. It's not that type of place. It's a place to share. It's a place, I mean, you want to have people come here and go, wow. So it really was way beyond our where we live, and we live here, but it was a chance with the gatherings, I think, is to bring people here and say, God, wow, you know, this is really cool. Why don't we go do something like this? So,
and then the other thing that we have that's naturally here is a garden. And we'll be honest, we haven't quite figured it out. We're still working on how do you run a garden and have it pay for itself, quite frankly, because it's a lot of investment. So we empathize with the farmers across America or around the world. So how do you do this? Because, by the way, we all need gardeners and farmers in the world, right?
You know, our first business plan, we're going to be coolest CSA around, as you know, and then we're like, oh my gosh, that's hard. That's like a lot of work. Bigger farm, more equipment. And then we said, you know, what can we do with this? But we're on a new one. It's called RSA, which is more of a restaurant supported agriculture. But of course, we don't own restaurants.
We don't know. Well, and so one thing I would say too is just as a note, all the food that you're eating at the Dew this week, I'd say the majority has come straight out of the garden. And we'll get an opportunity to walk the garden after our session today. But it's full of life, and we'll figure it out. We're committed to figuring it out. But it's definitely an element of this land and the community. And so there's this other idea that happened to us. One is this thing called the Piazza di Campovita, which is in downtown Hopland. And it's a small inn, and it's a restaurant. And we never had it in our plan to run this thing. But what happened is Gary had approached the man who owned the building.
Well, the place was just like this. It was closed for 4 years. So it was a brand new building. It was a real estate. You're like, wow, that building is really neat. And somebody has to do something with this. So it had a restaurant that was brand new that had been shut down. So there's no restaurant. The whole place is shut down. So we're thinking to ourselves, oh my gosh, you know, this is a chance for us to build community in one shot. We can open a restaurant, we can have more hotel rooms, and we can have a gathering spot for people when they drive up 101 that they would like enjoy themselves and say, Hopland is actually pretty cool, and we need to come over to that Campovita place too. So it was really a chance for us to reclaim something that was shut down. But also, I think in our bigger plan was to really create community around people gathering and like having fun and eating great food. So
yeah, and again, back to the intention of really helping Hopland come back to life. So really, we think of it as investing in the community. And then we couldn't stop there because we were so bored. We decided that Gary had this other property that he invested in back in 1996 in a small little city called Oakland, California. This was a building that was being vandalized, and the part of the section of town was just being forgotten. And this is a man who likes, I call him the developer of possibilities, because back in 1996, he had a vision for this building, which is now the neighborhood has caught up with this area. It's got great food, great restaurant, people investing all over. But we saw this opportunity to be community investors back there.
Well, I mean, it was so inspiring because the building, I mean, no connection at the beginning, but the building was built in 1890. And the building that we're sitting in today was built in 1890. So it was like this total cool connection to 1890, amazing structures, amazing places. And like, we lived in Oakland, so we're like, let's go back and do something in Oakland. And it's been great because we've got so excited about telling urban folks about what we're doing up here. And our hope is that we'll tell that story down there and they'll come up and visit and vice versa. And maybe some of them will.
Well, it's interesting because I think through this talk we've learned, it's like this full circle. We've kind of come a full circle, urban, rural, suburbia, whatever, really in some ways, wherever you live, there's a sense where you can build a circle and a community. And we're just trying to continue to do that for ourselves and wherever our feet are at the moment. So you know, we want to just share a couple more highlights because we have to tell you, the last few weeks of trying to pull together a husband and wife talk for 20 minutes in your own space, it's just been brilliant. And so we wanted to actually summarize with a few of our insights from the journey. And we'll just first say, we feel like this second film that we're living, we're still at the beginning. And we're still sort of making the film up.
And I'm not sure the film ever will have an ending. So I think that's the important thing is that you're going to start something. And for me, I always want to end the film and it'd be perfect. But what I've learned, I think, is the film just rolls on and on and on, even without us.
Like our talk. So let listen. So one insight is to listen to your calling. It's really one of those things that we feel like this became a love for us, you know, this place. And we kept hearing it whisper and whisper and whisper. And even though we'd go back to our day jobs, if you will, this was still calling us and we felt propelled to do it. And then it also, try not to do it alone. Thank God we had each other, because everybody else was sort of like, you're crazy. And get a few other crazies right behind you, because you're going to need them just to support you. And since then, I think a lot of the people who thought we were kind of crazy have gotten on board with us too. And so now we're in this crazy sort of village together. And part of it is like the do, so welcome. And then this other piece.
Yeah, I mean, the optimism thing. I mean, we wouldn't be here without amazing optimism. I mean, it's a killer, but it's also the thing you have to have. You got to be just totally convinced that you can do this. But I think in that optimism, I think you almost have to have a partner or somebody else with you that can kind of really ground that optimism in reality, as I like to say, because you can get really out of control and that optimistic thing can be over.
Do you want to say anything about this slide and then this slide?
Oh yeah, that was the winery when we started. And the next slide, how we are now. We're not done
that's
yet.
That's the shower house and everything. But when we first started, it sort of looked like this. And I thought it was going to be a yoga studio. So it became a barn, but a winery. But in any case, the last insight, or there's two more insights. One is, these are our kids. And I just caught this right at the moment when we walked outside. And to us, there's a little bit of curiosity, optimism, observation going on there. But I think in any case, for us, I think what we've learned is just be comfortable with letting go. Because we had all sorts of plans. Like, we were not going to do wine, and we're doing wine. There was all sorts of things we had decided we weren't going to do, and we sort of surrendered to certain things that were just right in front of us. And so be okay with letting go and just sort of making it up along the way. But the thing I think that you really need to stay focused on is loving big. Because I think once you have that calling, I know, isn't that a ridiculous picture? Once you have that calling, you got to get behind it and love it with all your passion because it's hard work.
We wouldn't have started without love. I mean, the love for the place, I mean, it's just, if it didn't have that, this whole thing wouldn't be worth it. So
on that note, I'm just going to play the last little clip, and then I promise we'll be done. It's a little love film, I suppose.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.